Good morning. I'd like for you to imagine the United States around the years 1860 to 1890. And specifically the states of like Kansas, Nebraska, North and South Dakota, Wyoming, Montana. Because around this time, there were no major cities in that area, very few towns. If there were towns, it was mainly on kind of the borders. There were no highways, no skyscrapers, a lot fewer people, a lot more animals. As the United States acquired more western territories and this land that had been purchased had not yet been purchased for private ownership, hasn't been purchased for people, it was all publicly owned. And it was freely available for grazing cattle. This land was basically one big shared field. It was all open. There was no fences, no borders, no keep out signs. It was known as the open range. Texas cattle owners would drive more than 5 million cattle up north into the approximately 500,000 square miles, millions and millions of acres of open range, so that this cattle could be fattened up and then driven back south to Texas so it could be shipped off to slaughter. Huge herds of cattle were driven from area to area by cowboys. And these cowboys, they didn't know what state they were in. They didn't have to worry about whose land they were on, because it was all open. It was all free to them. They were free to take their cattle pretty much wherever they wanted, without worrying about someone saying, "Get out of my yard." But even with all this area, with all this open range, with all this freedom to ride in the land that they had, people wanted more. As more and more ranchers came to the United States and they saw the freedom that their cattle could have, they wanted it too, so more land was needed. And to help with this demand, over about a 10-year period, the United States forcefully renegotiated the agreements they had with different tribes of the American Indians, reducing their lands, their territory, by millions of acres. And as the years progressed, more and more people headed west, and more land was sold, the open range began to shrink. And with the invention of the barbed wire, owners found that they could confine large groups of cattle to their land without having to hire cowboys to keep the herd safe. And then they could use the resources of their land only for their cattle and wouldn't have to share them. So that, and along with the spread of the railroad and meatpacking plants beginning to spread up north, so reducing the need to drive the cattle back down to the south into Texas, before 1900, the open range was pretty much gone. But man has always wanted freedom. This freedom of the open range. This freedom to go where we want, to do what we want, to see what we want. When our country's ancestors were tired of living under the rule of a king, they wanted freedom. So they fought to take a country for their own. And when the people already living in that land didn't want to give it up, our ancestors fought them and took more and more of that land away from them for more freedom. And ranchers in the open range, they didn't like it when the fences started being put up. It cut them off from taking their cattle into places. They had to be aware of where they were going. They didn't want to run into the fence. They didn't like being cut off. It took away their sense of freedom. Adam and Eve had almost total freedom. They had the whole Garden of Eden at their disposal. A whole Garden of Eden at their disposal. Anything, any tree, any fruit, any food that you could possibly want was at their disposal. Except for one thing. I'd like to read from Genesis chapter 2. Starting verses 8 through 9. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God had made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And I'll skip down to verse 15. Then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die." Now, God didn't put a literal fence around the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but he did put a figurative fence around it. What God said served the same purpose as a fence. Stay out. And then the next chapter, chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, the devil's tempting Eve with a sense of freedom and wanting more and more. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast in the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of the tree of Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees in the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, for you shall not touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Eve was made aware that she couldn't have something, and that her freedom, there was a little piece of freedom that she was cut off from that she couldn't have, and she wanted it. That's what we all do. We all want that freedom to do what we want. And these fences, like in the open range that began to pop up, and the figurative fence that God put around this tree. But fences are made to either keep something in or keep something out. They place restrictions on the things that we can do. We put up a fence in our yard a couple years ago so that we could let our dog out and not have him run around the neighborhood. And a couple times since then, it's been left open either by our mistake or other people's mistakes, but a couple times he's gotten out. And whenever he comes back and we let him outside again, and with a closed gate this time, we've shut the gate. But when we let him out, the first thing he does, I've noticed a couple times, he goes back to that gate to see if it's open. He's wanting to see if it's open again. He wants his freedom. He wants to get back out and run around the neighborhood and be free. He wants to see if that wood wall is blocking his way, blocking his freedom. Man does not like restrictions. We have a craving to be free, to do what we want to do. There's an old country song. It's a pretty popular one. I don't listen to much country, and I even know it, so I'm a little popular that way. It's been recorded by many people over the years. It goes along with the desire for freedom and the dislike for fences. It's titled, "Don't Fence Me In." I'd like to read some of those lyrics for you. "Don't Fence Me In. Oh, give me a land, lots of land, under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in. Let me be by myself in the evening breeze and listen to the murmur of the cottonwood trees. Send me off forever, but I ask you please, don't fence me in. Just turn me loose. Let me straddle my old saddle underneath the western skies. On my cayuse, let me wander over yonder till I see the mountains rise. I want to ride to the ridge where the west commences and gaze at the moon till I lose my senses. And I can't look at hobbles, and I can't stand fences. Don't fence me in. Oh, give me a land, lots of land, under starry skies above. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Wide open country, sense of freedom. Just turn me loose. Let me be loose. And don't fence me in. Don't restrict me. Man has always liked freedom. Man has never liked to be told what we're not allowed to do. Man doesn't want to have restrictions on things that we want to do. But sometimes restrictions are good. Sometimes fences are good because they can provide protection. They can provide security. As desirable as the open range sounded, there were some drawbacks, some things that made working on the open range a struggle. The open range, as you can imagine, was free and wide open, which sounds nice. But if the fire started in the prairie, there'd be nothing to stop it for miles and miles and miles. It would rage uncontrolled. The open range offered no protection from wild animals, wolves, coyotes, bears, probably, mountain lions. These animals would all run free along with you and your cattle. The open range offered no protection from weather. Think about being out in the prairie during a tornado back then. No tornado shelters, no basements to go into. It'd be scary. Every spring and fall, ranch hands would have to work with each other from different ranches to sort out all the cattle because it was an open range. Their cattle just ran all over the place. They'd be branded. That's why the branding was, so they could tell the difference. But every spring and fall, you'd have to go through, sort out hundred thousands of cows, and then figure out which calf belonged to which cow, and then brand them. That sounds like a lot of work. And then cattle thieves. I mean, your cattle are wandering out all over the place. You can't watch them all. There's cattle thieves that are going to come and steal them, change your brand, and ship them up to Canada for them to be sold. Then there was winter weather. I found this story on the internet. This is in Montana. In 1886, in Montana alone, there were about 600,000 cattle. And because this year it was a very dry summer and winter came early, very little hay had been laid up for winter feeding. They weren't quite prepared. It was dry, so they didn't get, not as much had grown. Like I said, winter came early, so they weren't prepared. And in February, temperatures across Montana were reported to reach 63 degrees below zero, the actual temperature. 63 below. There's an estimate that 360,000, about 60% of all the cattle in Montana, died that year due to either freezing or starving to death. And there's even reports that there's this town up there that had 5,000 cows invade a town, pulling up trees, small trees to eat, and eating any kind of garbage on the road that they could find. These cows were starving to death. So even though the freedom of the open range sounded appealing, there were some drawbacks. It wasn't all easygoing and fun times. There were some struggles. There were some struggles, and there were some advantages to having a fenced-in ranch, to be able to not have to sort your cows every spring and fall, being able to offer some protection. Maybe you have the barns in that you could bring them into. There are some advantages to having fences, those restrictions. Security, like I mentioned, can come from having those restrictions, having our fences. Our homes offer a restriction that people just can't walk into our homes, and we can't walk into their homes if we like it better, but it's a protection for us. They protect us from the cold and the heat, the rain and the snow. Quite possibly when ranchers on the open range were, I bet they wished for some protection when they were sleeping out in the open and it started to downpour and they would get soaked. Maybe just for a second they were wishing for a roof over their head. But with security comes restrictions. In order to protect ourselves, we do have to give up some of the freedoms of that the world might offer to us. Paul wrote to the church in Galatia and told them that they were free. They were free from being a servant to sin. They were free from the burdensome rites and customs of the old law, the law of Moses. There were people there trying to convince them that they needed to follow these old laws. But Paul was trying to tell them, you're free of this. You don't need to follow that. But then Paul was also telling them that with that freedom, don't take it too far. Be aware of that freedom. Like I said, they were free from those customs and obligations, but they were not free from the laws of God. Not free from serving God as Paul was teaching them. I'd like to read from Galatians chapter 5 about this freedom. Galatians 5, verse 13. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, or freedom. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. I liked how it read in the New International as well. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. Do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. Don't go crazy with your freedom. Don't see that you're free and just go all over the open range, going all over the place. You need to have some fences. You need to have some fences built up to protect yourself from wandering all over the place. Now I'll skip forward to verse 16 of chapter 5. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. As Christians, we have freedom. We have a free will. We can choose what we want to do. But like the Galatian Christians, we shouldn't use that freedom to indulge our sinful nature. We shouldn't. The open range is out there for us, but we shouldn't use the open range. We should crave the protection behind a fence. We must put up some fences in our Christian lives to protect ourselves from going out into the open range and getting caught up in this the lust of the flesh. We should not be living our lives on the open range, because the open range of our spiritual lives can be just as dangerous as the open range was back in the late 1800s. If we do not put up some fences to keep ourselves in, we may find ourselves indulging in that sinful nature. I mentioned that the American Indians And during the land expansion, as people wanted more and more of this open range, their land decreased. They had hundreds of thousands of acres in their territories at first, and those lands began to shrink as well. And as these American Indians were forced into these reservations and as they began to shrink, some of these American Indians actually became ranchers themselves. They started picking up what the white man was doing. They were raising the cattle and doing what they were doing, on selling them to the slaughterhouses. It says that ranching helped American tribes expand their economic opportunities, maintain their cultures, and gain independence from government control. It provided a way for them to make a living after the buffalo were gone, and ranching became a very important to reservation economies. So these American Indians, they were trying to live peacefully within their borders that the United States had set up for them. But still, there were problems. Not that they would go out into the open range, but people from the open range would come into them. Ranchers from other nearby ranches would let their cattle roam onto these reservation lands that the Indians had, that was theirs, and would eat their grass and use their resources rather than the lands of the open range that was free for them. And it says in 1904, so it's kind of, like I said, kind of right at the end of the open range, and people were building all fences all around. But in 1904, the tribe called the Blackfeet, they actually did. They built a fence around their entire reservation. I didn't get the size of the reservation, but I'm sure it's quite large. But they built a fence around their entire reservation to stop this trespassing, to keep the cattle out that wasn't theirs. This was the land they had promised. They were living peacefully. They weren't going out. They just wanted to keep others off of their land. But the fence didn't help much. The ranchers of this, with the other cattle, they would just cut the fence. They would cut the fence and then let their cattle get back onto the fence, get back into that area. So these Indians were trying to keep out trespassers, trying to keep their land secure with a fence, meant to restrict what was outside from coming inside, but didn't do any good. It came in anyway. The author J.R.R. Tolkien, author of The Lord of the Rings, he wrote in one of those books, I couldn't get which one, but he wrote somewhere in that series, says, "The wide world is all about you. You can fence yourselves in, but you cannot forever fence it out." The wide world is all about you. You can fence yourselves in, but you cannot forever fence it out. As Christians, we can put up a fence to keep ourselves from going out into the world, to protect ourselves from going out into the world. But the world, the open range, is going to sneak in through our fences and try to persuade us to that sinful nature. We need to keep special attention of our fence. When it comes to fences, I think the Chinese had the right idea. The Great Wall of China first began to be built about 500 years before Jesus was born. I didn't realize it was that old. 5th century BC is when it started. And as the years went on, and rulers and emperors changed, different sections of this wall was built. And this continued for centuries, with the last sections of the Great Wall being built as late as the 1600s. So, still long ago, but a lot more recent than 500 BC. And to my surprise, the Great Wall is not just one long wall. There is one main section that runs mostly east to west, but there are other sections that aren't even connected to the main wall. They're just kind of off on their own. Today, many sections of the wall can hardly be considered a wall anymore. After all, they are 2,500 years old. So they've kind of fallen down. But in 2007, an archaeological study determined that the Great Wall, with all of its oldest sections, they measured it all out, it is 13,170 miles long. 13,000 miles, meaning the Great Wall of China could approximately stretch across the United States four times. That's a fence. It's made from pretty simple materials, stone, brick, tamped down earth, wood, and just other, like I said, simple materials. But it was used to protect the Chinese Empire against invasion attempts from various nomadic groups or military invasions for centuries. And it ranges in height from 16 to 26 feet. So at its, obviously there are some sections now that are a lot shorter than that because they're hardly a fence, or hardly a wall anymore, but sections that are standing from 16 to 26 feet. Each emperor, like I said, each emperor that would took over ruling the empire, they would add to the fence, add to this wall. So they might have seen a weakness in part of their country that wasn't there before, so they had to build a new section to this wall to protect against this group of people wanting to come in. Or this wall, it's a little dilapidated, it's starting to fall down, we better rebuild some of that. They did that for centuries. But this did not come without sacrifice. It's estimated that over 1 million people died during the construction over the centuries. Now granted, again, that's centuries, thousands of years, but still. Most people, we don't die putting up fences in our yards. So it was quite a sacrifice that they made in order to put up this wall to protect from invaders. After Paul described the works of the flesh that the Galatians should watch out for in chapter 5, he also then lists some of the fruits of the Spirit that they should aspire to have in their lives. And we should have these fruits in our lives as well. And these should be the posts of our fence. All fences have some kind of a post, an anchor that anchors to the ground, and then the wire the posts are built off of. But these fruits should be the posts of our fence, what our fence is built off of. I'd like to continue in Galatians chapter 5, picking up in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. The Great Wall of China isn't made out of very fancy materials. It's made out of the very basic materials. But these materials, they work together to make a very strong wall for protection. It's lasted hundreds, thousands of years. These fruits of the Spirit that Paul describes are pretty basic. But they work together, when they're in our lives, they work together to make a very strong wall in our lives. And some can be overlooked because they're simple. We take them for granted. Don't worry about them. We try to make things harder than it should be in our lives to make a stronger fence, but sometimes we need to go back to these basic fruits to build our wall. And also like the Great Wall, we need to constantly be looking our wall over to see if an area of it needs to be repaired. That's, like I said, that's what the Chinese did with the Great Wall as well. If a section needed repaired, they would do that. If a new section needed to be built because of an invading army from another country, they would build it. If there's a new temptation in our life, one that wasn't there 10 years ago, we may need a new section to our wall, to our fence, to be built. we need to pay attention to the wall, to the fence that we have in our life. The word fence is not in the Bible very often, but I did find this one scripture that went along with this. It's in Proverbs chapter 24, and starting verse 30, it's talking about a vineyard, but not just a vineyard. Proverbs 24, verse 30. I went by the field of the lazy man, and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. And there it was, all overgrown with thorns. Its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. When I saw it, I considered it well. I looked on it and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. But this is telling to me that this lazy person is being judged on the condition of his field. His field is all overgrown. There's nettles all over it. Like a thorn, probably, I'd imagine. It says thorns. But then it mentions his wall. This wall was all broken down as well. So he's not taking care of his vineyard, his field. He's not taking care of the wall that's surrounding it either. And it calls him lazy. Devoid of understanding. That kind of goes along with Wednesday night class in Hebrews, talking about not being dull and being attentive and just keeping ourselves in order and maintaining this figurative wall in our lives, our spiritual lives. I mentioned it before, the Great Wall was built in sections as determined where the greatest threat was at that time. A threat to our spiritual life may be different today than it was 10 years ago and different than it will be 10 years from now. We need to not be lazy. We need to be studying and figuring out where that threat is in our lives and try to build a wall to keep ourselves out from going out and others, that sinful nature, from coming in. In closing, I'd like to read the lyrics of one more song, another popular song. It was originally recorded by the Eagles in the 1970s. I'd like for us to compare some of these lyrics to the lyrics in Don't Fence Me In. The name of the song is Desperado. A desperado is kind of an outlaw, kind of a criminal at that time, more like someone who doesn't care if they're caught or not. They're doing whatever they're doing bad, they don't have a care. If I get caught, whatever. There's no hope. They don't have any hope. This song is meant to be about, if you just take the words at face value, it's about an Old West outlaw kind of refusing to fall in love. But there's more to it than that. I'm not going to read all the lyrics, just some of them as I picked them out, and I'll have some comments kind of in between as I read. Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding fences for so long now. Oh, you're a hard one. I know that you've got your reasons. These things that are pleasing you can hurt you somehow. Now it seems to me some fine things have been laid upon your table, but you only want the ones that you can't get. Desperado, oh, you ain't getting no younger. Your pain and your hunger, they're driving you home. And freedom, oh, freedom, well, that's just some people talking. Your prison is walking through this world all alone. Desperado, why don't you come to your senses? Come down from your fences, open the gate. It may be raining, but there's a rainbow above you. You better let somebody love you before it's too late. So I want to go back and pick up a couple of those lyrics. Why don't you come to your senses? You've been out riding fences for so long now. We've all heard the phrase straddling a fence, riding a fence. This guy's riding the fence. He's riding a fence between what he wants to do and what he knows he should do. And he's been doing this for far too long, it says. I also like these things that are pleasing you can hurt you somehow. The pleasures of this world, the pleasures of the open range, they're desirable. We want them. But they can end up hurting us. Like the pleasures of the open range could end up hurting the ranchers sometimes. And freedom. Oh, freedom. Well, that's just some people talking. Your prison is walking through this world all alone. Freedom isn't all it's cracked up to be. Freedom may sound nice, being out in that open range. You're pretty limited with your company. I mean, I'm almost probably like a shepherd. You probably have a couple other cowboys out there with you, but I'd imagine it's also kind of a lonely life. So that's why it says it's your prison is walking alone through this world. And then it's saying to come down from your fences and open the gate. You better let somebody love you before it's too late. Stop straddling that fence. Choose a side and let love in. Like I said, many of us have heard that term, straddling the fence. It means we're sitting on both sides of a fence, not knowing what side we want to be on. We know we're supposed to be inside our fence with the protection that comes from it. But there's a part of us that's seeing the open range, being tempted by the pleasures of that open range, wanting some of that as well. Well, the Bible talks about straddling a fence. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And then Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 and 16, he's talking to the church of Laodicea. He says, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things, says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. God doesn't want us to straddle the fence between what we know we should do and the pleasures of the open range of the world. He wants us to be on his side, his safe side, but straddling the fence is worse than even choosing the open range, the worldly side. Most fences I've seen, and even the Great Wall of China, there's a gate. There is a gate. A door in the fence to let someone you trust, someone that you want in, that's supposed to be inside with you, let them come through. The last line of that song, Desperado, it involves opening a gate. And still in the, going back to that, to the letter to the Laodiceans in the book of Revelation, they were told not to be lukewarm, to pick a side, be hot or cold, they're still given hope. They're asked to open the gate. Verse 20 of Revelation 3. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. Jesus is knocking on our door. He's knocking on our gate. Are we inside the security of our fence, the security of our wall? Are we inside there and able to let him in? Are we outside the fence? Are we in the open range, risking the dangers of the freedom that we long for there and not able to open it for him? Or are we stuck sitting on the fence, not knowing what side we want to be on, hearing him knock, but stuck on the fence, can't get down to let him in? Knowing we should be on the inside, but too enticed by the world to let it out of our sight. What is the shape of your fence? Does it need repair? Are there new sections that need to be built? Jesus is knocking. Open the gate, let him in, let him love you. and he will help you with your fence. He will help you rebuild it, build a new section. And if you've fallen off the gate, gotten unto the or fallen off the wall, and then fallen into the worldly side, he can help you come back in, come into the to the safety and security that is waiting inside with him. If anyone is needing that help this morning and wants to help and open the door for him and invite him in, you're invited to come forward as we stand and sing.